Greet you all in the precious name of Jesus. I too echo what Laverne said. We appreciate your support. We just have come through this past week attending the annual ministers meetings, and they are a blessing even if you're not reimbursed, but it is encouraging when you all, when there was a vision to say, you know, this is time spent away, we'd like to help with time off of work. And so I just say thank you as well. It was tempting to just highlight some of the things that were brought out at the meetings, but realize that may have some limited value, because it is difficult to translate what we took in and then make it maybe palatable and even meaningful for you all. And so, like I said, I was tempted, but I feel like the Lord has laid something on my heart that is timely, and trust that it can bless the church as we look forward to the future. I'd like for you to imagine with me a man called Peter. Peter of the Bible. He had been going to work fishing for many years, we believe. Probably wrestled with a lot of the same questions that you and I do. What's the meaning of life? What life can seem kind of mundane. Every day, same old thing, going back to work. But one day was different for him. He was out fishing. Probably had done a lot of normal things that morning. And he's there fishing when a man named Jesus walks up and says, "Come follow me." And the scriptures tell us he dropped his nets and went and followed him. In some ways, Peter's story is similar to ours. I'm guessing most of you have heard that call. And even now on this side of the call may say sometimes it feels kind of mundane, kind of same old, same old. Today I'd like to look at hearing God's call. There is a general call and there is a specific call. The general call for all of us is to do as Peter did, and that is to come follow him. And the specific call that we have as individuals, we may at times wonder, have I found it? Because I believe that there is a fulfillment that comes when we find the personal call that doesn't take away all the mundaneness, but there is life in finding a personal call that I believe is God designed. And so today I'd like to cover both. Here's my outline. God's general call to everyone, God's specific call to individuals, and then discerning a specific call. We have probably all asked the questions, why am I here? What does God want me to do? Where does God want me to serve? And how and where can I be the most effective with how God has gifted me? And these are all excellent questions, and ones we should not take lightly. You know, I believe I could say that there's a longing within all of us to contribute to a cause greater than ourselves. And interestingly, I'm not sure when it came to me, several months ago, I was thinking, so why is spectator sports such an attraction for people? And I think it comes back to this. We all want to be part of something greater than ourselves. And there's something that pulls us in spectator sports that's, this is my team. I am a part of it. Even though it's very ambiguous, there is still something about that whole thing that just, well, my team won, and so I'm victorious. Well, there, like I said, it's very ambiguous, but it is drawing. And you know, so I want to understand that as I wrestle with it some myself, but also as I interact with people who have that. Who are maybe consumed with spectator sports, to recognize, you know what, it's a God-given longing, I think, but misplaced. How much greater to recognize that the greater cause is the kingdom of heaven, and we can be a part of it. We don't not only need to watch it, we can be involved. Today I would like to address these questions that I posed earlier, and I offer my perspective, invite your input to give a fuller picture. So I want to say up front, this is my perspective, and I'm sure your perspective will add dimensions to it. And so I invite that input, and so I just want to say that up front. First of all, I'd like to look now at God's general call to everyone. I believe it is safe to say that everyone who comes to Christ has been given a call. First of all, maybe kind of the one that we maybe even don't even think about is the call to salvation. We are called to give up our lives for the sake of the gospel. So we are not our own. We are God's. And God calls us to discipleship and following him just like Jesus did in calling his disciples. So what are other areas that we receive a general call to? And I've just listed a number here. I'm sure there's more in the scriptures. First one is loving God, Matthew 22:37-40. Jesus said unto him, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart and with all thy soul and with all thy mind. This is the first and great commandment, and the second is like unto it. Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets. So we are called to love God with everything we have. So not only are we to give ourselves in discipleship to him, we are called to then love him with everything we have and to love our neighbor as ourselves. So that's a call for everyone. No one is excluded. The second one is obedience. John 14:15 says, if ye love me, keep my commandments. And I think this is a first and second thing, as Stephen Brubaker brought out. Love is the first thing, but we dare not keep obedience out. But obedience is so much richer and fuller from a relationship of love. So we are to love, first of all, and keep his commandments, be obedient to him. And that is a call for all who follow Christ. We are to make the gospel known. Matthew 28:19, go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and of the Holy Ghost. And closely linked to that is making disciples, which is the next verse, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. Amen. So we are to go out, and as we go, so this call is to everyone. As we go, we are to make the gospel known, and we are to make disciples. And so, this is not a specific call. This is a general call. To everyone who names the name of Christ, go out and make disciples wherever you are as you go. Next, we are to bring glory to God in all we do. So this is more kind of all-encompassing. 1 Corinthians 10:31 says, "Whether therefore ye eat or drink, or whatsoever ye do, do all to the glory of God." So now there is a sense in which whatever I do every day is a call to bring glory to Him. So we could say that, and sometimes we do this, we elevate the idea of evangelism as being a higher call than bringing glory to God in everyday life. But I believe, as I see this, that this is a call for everyone in all things to bring glory to Him. And so, as people, we sometimes wrestle with, well, it feels like someone else has received a more special call. But I don't see that here. I see that as doesn't matter who we are. If we are following Christ, we are called to bring glory to Him. I invite you to turn to Ephesians chapter 1. In these verses, we see how God equips us to serve in our calling. And I'd like to read verses 3 through 14 here. Just a very powerful, rich section here where Paul is speaking to the Ephesians, but obviously we know it's for us today as well. And as we think of God's call, and then as we move into God's specific call for individuals, I want you to see how He equips us for that. And we see numerous ways He does that in Ephesians 1. Ephesians 1, beginning in verse 3. "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ, according as He hath chosen us in Him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before Him in love, having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to Himself, according to the good pleasure of His will, to the praise of the glory of His grace, wherein He hath made us accepted in the Beloved, in whom we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of sins, according to the riches of His grace, wherein He hath abounded toward us in all wisdom and prudence, having made known unto us the mystery of His will, according to His good pleasure, which He hath purposed in Himself, that in the dispensation of the fullness of times He might gather together in one all things in Christ, both which are in heaven and which are on earth, even in Him, in whom also we have obtained an inheritance, being predestinated according to the purpose of Him who worketh all things after the counsel of His own will, that we should be to the praise of His glory, who first trusted in Christ, in whom ye also trusted after that ye heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also, after that ye believed, ye were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise, which is the earnest of our inheritance, until the redemption of the purchased possession, unto the praise of His glory." Just like to look at the numerous ways that He equips us to serve in our calling. First of all, we see that He blesses us with all spiritual blessings. We are blessed to be a blessing, not to consume the blessings upon ourselves. So I believe this is how He equips us to serve in our calling. That we are equipped with spiritual blessings so that those blessings can flow out of us to others. Secondly, He chooses us to be holy and blameless. You know, being called by God is a high calling. Because we are to be like Christ in conduct. He wants us to be holy and blameless. And the only way we can do that is to be filled with Christ, to be filled with his Spirit, and to walk holy with him. Our calling is, we could say, to be like Christ. But as we go and fulfill our calling, we are to be like Christ to others. Our ambitions, our goals should be Christ-like. The next two we see is a place of position. He adopts us as children, and he accepts us in the beloved. Our calling is done only from a position of acceptance. We're human enough that sometimes we get our calling and we run with it. And we don't do it in our own strength. And we receive acceptance from the calling itself. And I see Paul teaching us here that no, our calling is done from a position of acceptance and of being a child of God. And so as I accept and receive the position that I have in Christ, I am better equipped to serve, to live out my calling. Next one, we are to be to the praise of his glory. And I brought this out already. Our calling is always to bring glory to God and not to ourselves. That's a hard one to keep in mind. Because like I said, sometimes we latch on to the calling and we forget this isn't about us, it's about him. And finally, we are sealed with the Holy Spirit. Our calling can only be fulfilled with the aid of the Holy Spirit in our lives. In fact, our calling is going to fall very far short if the Holy Spirit isn't in every step and every breath of our calling. And that leads me into the next point, God's specific call to individuals. If we turn several pages to Ephesians 4, we see here how Paul, talking to the Ephesians, writing to the Ephesians, and it's a very common place we turn to when we talk about giftings and how God equips the church. And I would like to read verses 1 through 16 here. I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you that ye walk worthy of the vocation wherewith ye are called, with all lowliness and meekness, with longsuffering, forbearing one another in love, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. There is one body and one Spirit, even as ye are called in one hope of your calling. One Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is above all and through all and in you all. But unto every one of us is given grace according to the measure of the gift of Christ. Wherefore he saith, when he ascended up on high, he led captivity captive and gave gifts unto men. I think I'll jump over verses 9 and 10 and go to 11. And he gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and teachers for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come in the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, that we henceforth be no more children, tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness, whereby they lie in wait to deceive, but speaking the truth in love may grow up into him in all things, which is the head, even Christ, from whom the whole body, fitly joined together and compacted by that which every joint supplieth, according to the effectual working in the measure of every part, maketh increase of the body unto the edifying of itself in love. In the general call that we receive, we are all to fulfill it wherever we are. However, as we see in this passage, God equips the saints with different gifts to be used in the work of the church. As we look at the context of verse 4, he is speaking to a brotherhood. And so we see that when it talks about that you walk worthy of the vocation wherewith ye are called, so our calling, and I'm going to say our specific calling, is given in the context of the church. God's plan for the church is spelled out in Ephesians 1, 22 and 23, where he says, "And hath put all things under his feet," which is Jesus, "and gave him to be the head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him that filleth all in all." So he says that he puts everything under Christ's feet, and Christ is the head. And then he talks about the body, which is who we are, his body. "And we are the fullness of him," Christ, "that fills all in all." So the church is to be the fullness of Christ in the world. What does it look like when his fullness is in the world? Well, I believe it gives the idea of filling, we could say, every nook and cranny of the world with his presence. We leave nothing in the world untouched by the love of God. And so we as his body are filling the world with his presence, with his love. Each of us has been uniquely made and gifted to leave an impact on the world. Now, I realize that that statement right there could make us high-minded, egotistical. Wow. So I'm uniquely gifted. I'm uniquely made. Now, I'm sure that those of you in the pews don't struggle with this, but some of us do. God never designed it to make us proud of who we are. He gave us gifts so that his message would go out in greater measure. And I believe that God's specific call for us is always in the context of the local church. What do I mean by that? And I found it interesting. I hadn't even known that Matthew was going to share what he did at share time. I believe it was the Lord's doing. What we see Matthew doing is saying, I feel this sense of call, but I don't see Matthew out kind of somewhere all by himself and saying, I have to follow this and I'm not going to let the church drag me down. You know, this is my call. Now, I think there can be a tendency to do that. But I believe there is so much more strength and stability, and I believe that God intended, from what I see in Ephesians 4, that's those specific calls that people, that individuals receive, is done in the context of a brotherhood. And I've appreciated those who have gone out from us, Arthur and Ellis, Joel, who have sensed that call, but they've said, but we want the support of our congregation. Those are the things that I have really appreciated, and I just want to continue to move us in that direction and continue to encourage that. I'd like to read from a book that I just picked up, More, Find Your Personal Calling and Live Life to the Fullest Measure by Todd Wilson. I'll admit I picked it up with a little bit of apprehension. It's like, well, yeah, I'm sure there's things I can learn. But I have been pleased with the way that how strongly he brings this out about the church. And so I'd like to read just a little bit here. Okay, speaking of how God's love is to fill every part of the world, hear that again. We are to be like the water, leaving nothing untouched by the love of God. Sound impossible? That's because of our experience and trust in the ways of the physical world. Think of the most impactful organizations in recent history. You might consider corporations like Apple, Google, Amazon, eBay, Microsoft, and Ford Motor Company. Combine their collective skills, capacities, and abilities. Add in the rest of the businesses in America. Multiply that by 1 million. Could the resultant entity fill everything in every way? Not a chance. Yet, we are promised that the church, in all its shortcomings, has that capacity. God gave it a sacred design with a sacred plan. The church is the most powerful movement in the history of the world with the capacity to fill everything in every way with the fullness of Christ. That is a game changer. But here is the challenging part. Do you believe that the potential of your personal calling is connected to the fullness of Jesus in your community? That God's perfect plan for your life in this generation is about the fullness of Christ touching you and the people around you deeply? If so, then you need to be a vibrant part of the church. Forget preconceived notions for a moment. Set aside your vision of church with any negative association. Just take God at his word. The church is the instrument of the fullness of Jesus intersecting with us. When seen in that light, calling and church are inseparable. The church's potential, as Jesus intended it, is not bound by our personal negative experiences or history with the local church. Our skepticism comes from not really believing that church can do and accomplish what the Bible says it can. That somehow the church doesn't matter or is outdated. That the power and work of the Holy Spirit, so evident in the early church, is somehow no longer alive in and through us. Down deep, many of us have become convinced we are part of a losing team. This results in our giving less than our full devotion to our local faith community. Our skepticism also comes from seeing individual and parachurch organizations that seem to be more effective in mission than the more traditional church in their community. Here, we need to break down barriers and rethink what church really is. It's not just the individual organization. It's the people God has called to himself, which even at the local level may be a lot of different organizations. Most of us want to be part of something bigger than ourselves, a compelling vision and work of God. We must embrace the truth of what the church can and should be. When we do, the fullness of Christ flowing into every crack and cranny of society will happen faster and more comprehensively than we could ever have imagined. Jesus said, I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail. And maybe we should even add, and our negative aspects and views of it won't stop it. Let's use our calling in the local church. Now I'd like to borrow an outline from Todd Wilson in his book, More. Discovering my unique role. Our primary or general calling is discovered in being disciples of Jesus. The fullness of Jesus in us, who make disciples, the fullness of Jesus through us, where we are. This is true of all Christians, everywhere, at all times. Okay, so he's speaking now of the general call, so that is to everyone who names the name of Christ. We are to be disciples and make disciples where we are. Then the secondary or unique calling that we receive as individuals is discovered where God's unique design in our lives overflows to specific good works and deeds wherever we can be most effective. So now this is something that God gifts you and empowers you to be of use, particularly in your calling. And I remind you, it is for effectiveness. Calling moves us from being imperfect stewards of our unique gifting to being who we were created to be and doing what we were created to do. That shift is an incredibly exciting transition. So as we move, in a sense, from a general call to a specific call, and understanding God has gifted me in a specific way, and I believe He is calling me to use that, that is an exciting transition. And calling equips us to be fully devoted disciples of Jesus. So those are things that we need to remember in this whole thing of understanding our calling and hearing God's call. God equips us so that we can be more useful. He gives us specific callings so that we can be more useful. It's not that we can't be useful in a general call, but there is a sense in which when we understand what our calling is, that we can be more effective. Five years ago, when I was asked to teach at CBS, I had had interest in that before, didn't know how it would go, didn't have much idea if it was going to be something that would be a fit for me. But one of the things that I've discovered is that I believe it is a gifting that God has given me. And I have found it extremely rejuvenating to be involved in it. And I know traditionally from our background we have shied away and been a little cautious of people who understand what they're good at and maybe even understand their gifting. And I'll admit, I say this with a little bit of trepidation, because you might say, wow, he sure knows how to toot his own horn. But I remember in the time since that, yeah, I could be proud of it if I'd want to. That's how we are as humans. But I receive it humbly as a gifting that God has given me, and if I can use it to further His kingdom, then in that context, I don't think that I'm boasting. I'm just acknowledging that this is something that God has gifted me with. And I challenge you, and this is one of the reasons that I feel a burden for this, is I believe there are some gifts out there. I believe there are some callings, if you want to call it that, out there that haven't, your potential hasn't been realized. And I would like to encourage you to understand, what has God called you to specifically, individually? What is the specific call? How has He gifted you, and how does He want you to use it in the context of the brotherhood? Still borrowing from Todd Wilson, just some foundations for calling. And this is basically what his book is about. Each chapter is one of these points. Clarity of calling emerges when we learn to first trust deeply the author of the story. And I don't think I can overemphasize this point. We need to have trust in our God. There has to be that foundation of trusting the author of the story. Secondly, step forward in faith even when we cannot see clearly. So you sense something, try it. If it's not for you, that's okay. We aren't always given the big picture. We're just given the next step. Step out in faith. The third one, abandon the earthbound kingdom of me in order to gladly serve in the eternal kingdom of God. There is that temptation that life is about us, and we need to abandon that and give ourselves in surrender to the eternal kingdom of God. Fourthly, submit to the lordship of Jesus. And we could say, well, this should be number one. It could be. It's just one of the many good points. But we need to submit to his lordship and recognize this is about him and this is his calling for me. Fifthly, embrace our mission to carry the fullness of Jesus to every corner of society. So I mentioned in the general call, wherever we go, we are to take God's love, to take his word, to take his gospel. But in our specific calling, that might mean that we are called to different places. And so that is where the difference is. Wherever we go is the general call, but sometimes for Ellis's, they feel like their specific call is to the country of Bangladesh. Sixth one, live in common with a healthy local community of faith. And I think that was the chapter I was reading from in the book about the importance of the calling coming in the context of the community of faith. Seven, take personal responsibility of the unique role Jesus gave us. So there is a personal responsibility that we take. God didn't gift someone else with your giftings. So there is a sense in which we understand our and take personal responsibility. And saying, so, and I think often exploring that with fellow believers. For me, my wife has been instrumental in me understanding some of my giftings, and she sees it more clearly than I do. And that is extremely helpful. And I think sometimes the brotherhood often plays into that. And maybe that's a question we should be asking those around us. What giftings do you see that I'm not using? Number eight, trust the guidance of the Holy Spirit. This is a walk of faith. This is a walk with the Holy Spirit. And we have to trust him, even if it means stepping out in unknown territory. You know, if we think of calling, we often think of Abraham. I don't know how well that would work in 2017. It says he went out not knowing where he went. I'm too logical in saying, Lord, wait a minute here. You have a destination in mind. I really would like to know where that is. But trust in the Holy Spirit. It may not be the same as it was for Abraham, but sometimes it may feel like that. Like, I don't know where I'm going, but I'm stepping out in faith. Number nine, follow our general calling to be disciples of Jesus, who make disciples where we are. And number 10, follow our unique personal calling to play our role in God's mission where we are most effective. So the clarity of calling emerges when we learn to do these things. And I will just offer maybe kind of a balance to what I've been saying. As exciting as a personal call is, we need to be aware that we are still human and will tend to get our priorities messed up at times. We may be serving where we can be most effective, but doing it on our own strength. We may find our identity in the calling rather than in God himself. And I could probably list a number of other things that we need to avoid in the understanding of our personal calling. But let's remember, our personal calling is so that we can be the most effective in God's kingdom. This isn't about some ego trip where we feel like we are now really accomplishing something. This is about being effective in God's kingdom. Moving on to my third point, discerning a specific call. We have looked at general and specific, or we could say personal callings. Now I would like to look at how to discern a specific calling. Maybe you have sensed God calling you specifically to a work. So how do you determine it is from the Lord and not just your desire? I think that's a good question to ask. I believe if a body of believers is working together, there will be confirmation from the brotherhood of your gifting and calling. So I think that's one of the ways, is rely on the brotherhood, or maybe a smaller set of brothers or sisters who help you see, okay, so is this just something that I'm aspiring to, or is this something that God has really laid on my heart and it is his calling for me? And so often we think of a calling is when someone is being called to go elsewhere. But I believe that this goes for the person serving locally or the person with a vision for the foreign field. And like I said, I would love to see our congregation become more understanding. What is your personal calling? And how can you bless the body with that? We often think of it in with those who have a vision for the foreign field. So what are the next steps? Well, some of the next steps that I see are, actually, hold on. Make the calling known to your local church. Find out if the brotherhood affirms your calling. Further equip yourself for the specific work. And this would be for those who go with the blessing of the church. And if you stay, use it. Use your gifting, use your calling. And then finally, operate your calling with a connection to your local church. And that applies, obviously, for those who are within a congregation. And for those who go, do your best to maintain a connection. And let's not put it all on those who go. We as a congregation do our part to stay connected with them as well. Now I would like to look at some practical questions regarding calling and our upcoming ordination. Some of the questions I would like to address are, I've sensed a call. Does that mean I will be in the lot or ordained? What do I do if I have sensed the call of God but am not ordained or in the lot? If I am in the lot but am not ordained, what does that mean? I'm being really honest here. And maybe asking some awkward questions. But you know, I want the ordination experience to make us stronger. I believe there's the potential for misunderstanding and maybe even kind of a loss of purpose after an ordination because of these some of these questions. And so on this part particularly, I just say, this is my perspective, and this is where I really invite your input. For me personally, when I was in my 20s, I felt like God was telling me that he has a specific work for me. And it was actually something I shared with my wife after we were married. I didn't know what it meant, but I tucked it away. So in 2001 and 2003, I served in the lot when Ronald Miller and Laverne were ordained deacon. In 2005, then, I was ordained. Now, I could stand here and say, oh, well, that was the reason that God gave me, or God put it on my heart. But you know, that wouldn't be fair. Why? I believe there were other men in the congregation at that time that also could have testified to the fact that they felt the call. So what did it mean for them? Did they hear wrong? Or could it be that God calls lots of men, but we don't know specifically what the sense of call means? Does it mean faithful work as an ordained leader? Or faithful service to the church in a non-ordained role? Let me make this clear, men. An ordination is a time for us to exercise maturity. If not, we will tend to be like the disciples in Mark 9. And I'd like to read that. And they came to Capernaum, and when he was in the house, he asked them, what were you discussing on the way? But they kept silent, for on the way they had argued with one another about who was the greatest. And he sat down and called the 12, and he said to them, if anyone would be first, he must be last of all and servant of all. And he took a child and put them in the midst of them, and taking him in his arms, he said to them, whoever receives one such child in my name receives me, and whoever receives me receives not me, but him who sent me. Jesus knew their thoughts, and I see that human nature hasn't changed at all. Who of us would like to say to the master of the universe, so what were you talking about? I ain't telling. I had put down where Jesus talked about where the sons of Zebedee came to him and asked, we have a request, can we have the two seats beside you? And then he says that, can you drink the drink that I'm going to be drink? Are you going to be baptized with the baptism I am baptized with? And they said, well, they think they could, but the one verse I'd like to read is, that when the ten heard it, they began to be indignant at James and John. So we can look at our point our fingers at James and John, but the ten were aspiring as well. I believe feeling a sense of call is often common for men in a church. If you have felt that, you may wonder what it means. I don't think it always means being called to ordain leadership. God may be preparing you for another work of ministry in the local church or abroad. As I look out over the congregation, I see many of you who have embraced your calling in serving the local church in many practical ways. Do you realize what joy that brings to us as pastors? Thank you for your faithful service to the congregation. The calling to ordain ministry is a high calling because of the responsibility to care for God's flock. Often when we think of being a pastor, we think of the position, not the sacrifice and responsibility that goes with it. Ordained ministry is a calling to embrace that involves service and self-sacrifice. If we look to a specific calling to validate who we are looking to the wrong thing. Our identity must be in Christ in order for any work we are involved in to be fruitful. Otherwise, we will serve in order to receive something. In conclusion, I trust this look at hearing God's call has been helpful. God is looking for faithful people to fulfill his work until he comes back the second time. Let's encourage each other in our giftings so that we can be the most effective in the places God has called us. God bless you. Would you kneel for prayer? Oh God, it is such a privilege to be your children and for you to have called us out of darkness into your marvelous light. And Lord, now you've invited us to join you in the body of Christ, filling the world with your presence. Lord, forgive us for the times when we've not seen that potential in the church. And Lord, you've gifted each one here today with a special gifting and calling that only you in your sovereignty could do. And I just pray, Father, that as we look forward to ordination, that you would lead the church, lead our congregation in who you want to fill that role. And then I pray for all those who are not called to that, that they could find their identity in you and that they could understand their calling in the congregation. And thank you so much, Lord, for the many faithful ones who are serving in their calling here at Center. And may you bless them and may you give them fulfillment in them being who you've created them to be in fulfilling your mission. And I pray, Father, that we could stir up the gifts that are among us that are not being used. And I just pray for wisdom to do that. So we just commit ourselves to you, Lord, today, and just pray for your blessing on our congregation as we anticipate the ordination. We pray this through Christ. Amen.